Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's going on?
How are we doing, Taj?
Doing well.
Taj has some technical difficulties, but he's here live and direct, so we are off and running. Important show today. We have an incredible guest joining us. We, of course, are live right now on Facebook and YouTube, and for those who do listen to our podcast, or I should say for those who didn't know or were unaware, every single show of ours gets turned into a podcast where you can find us on any of the major podcast streaming platforms. One thing we should say is that we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we like to think we have learned from it. So what we like to do here on The Power of Love is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. But if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us or our guests. Taj Jackson, today's date is November 29th.
Yes.
Thanks. We are right in the midst of the holiday seasons. I don't even know if that's the proper way to say it, but that's how I'm going to say it, because Thanksgiving's behind us and Christmas is coming, is going forward, and the new year, of course. So real quick, I would love to know how your week, or I should say weeks, because it's been a couple weeks since we did our done a show. I want to know how your weeks have been leading up to today.
Hectic in a way. It's that, you know, Thanksgiving and that area time period is great because you get to see a lot of family and stuff like that. But we're gearing, because Taylor's birthday is around Thanksgiving, we decided to push it back a week in terms of celebrating it. So this week has been kind of preparing for that, and it's a lot of work, and my voice is tired, as you can tell.
Well, I think something we have to make clear is Taj is the father of three girls, all under five.
Taylor just turned five. So yeah, they would have all been under five. Taylor just turned five on the 21st.
Taj, that is I don't want to say mission impossible. It's a challenging mission that you are on, but I know you are doing it the way you're supposed to do it, with love and honor and pride. So
yeah, you're gonna keep doing your thing. Came home, so you know,
all good for me. Taj, I was traveling. I was actually in Texas for about 4 or 5 days. Franny and I, we escaped out and went to a concert. We saw Enrique, Pitbull, and Ricky Martin. Wow. And all on one concert. And then the next day we went to a San Antonio Spurs game, which is my favorite basketball team. So it was a really fun little mini getaway.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
And Taj, you know what? An advice I'm going to give you, since I have actually still have more kids than you, and I've already been down the road you are going on, make sure you take time for you and Tiana. Because the thing you know, it's going to be 8 to 10 years, and you know, life happens. But once we started going on mini getaways, things got a lot better. So I don't say better. That seems like things weren't great, but it got, you know what I mean? It was just, those trips were so enjoyable and so memorable. So I just want to suggest that to you, is make sure you get your getaways in.
I'll try.
Spoken like the true intelligent brother of us. So there you go. I had to. Taj, one thing I do want to say before we do our introduction for our guest is this is show number 302. That is an amazing accomplishment. I think I should tell everyone who's either watching or listening that you can go back and watch any of those 301 other shows. There's so many different topics we have, so many great guests that either have experiences that are, or are either professionals or that have went through some crazy, I shouldn't say crazy, but some really difficult, challenging experiences. And one thing I have to say about the Power of Love show, we've been so honored to have so many great voices and so many people open up and share their stories and really make a difference. So say to you who's watching or listening, that if you're going through something, I can almost promise you something similar has been said or talked about in our show. And I want to just, you know, after today's show, suggest you to maybe go back and check them out. Check out some of the other shows.
Yeah, I'd also like to say that basically, you know, you were talking about going back and listening to shows and stuff. Just from episode one to now in general, like just me, I wasn't even ready to talk, you know. I've opened up a lot about mom and, you know, and all that stuff and her death. And it's been very therapeutic, the show has, in that way. But even so, like the more you talk about it and stuff like that, the more it does help in that. As you said, we've had some incredible guests in that way. And all their stories have been so unique and different in that way. And I'm very appreciative of it because it's been a lot of things in perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, Taj. Well said. Okay. I should also say this too. Before we introduce our wonderful guests, I also want to say that for anyone out there who wants to learn more about the DD Jackson Foundation, you can go to ddjf.org. Obviously, we have presence in all the social media, Facebook and Instagram at DD Jackson Foundation. Twitter is just DDJ Foundation. But I think the best place to start if you want to learn more about the foundation is just simply ddjf.org. All right, Taj, I think it's time. As I said, this is show number 302. We've had incredible guests. At least more than half of them have been with guests, probably two thirds of them. And today's guest is another one who's just an amazing person. I should do the formal intro, so that's what I'm going to do. But ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we are welcoming special guest. Her name is Michelle D. Horde. Michelle Horde is a media consultant, executive coach, published author, and speaker. She is the former VP of Creative Content and Talent Management for NBC Universal and has spent more than three decades in media. She has worked with organizations such as ABC's Good Morning America, the Oxygen Network, CBS News, and the Oprah Winfrey Show. Michelle's memoir, The Other Side of Yet, was published in 2022 by Atria Books. Her book tells of her grief journey of resilience in the face of tremendous personal loss. The book features journal entries over a period of several years. It received a Christopher Award in 2023. She has been featured in O Magazine, The Tamron Hall Show, The Talk, GMA, Essence Magazine, and others. Michelle founded a nonprofit called Gabrielle's Wings, to honor the memory of her daughter, Gabrielle. Dedicated to giving children of color from vulnerable communities the tools they need to soar above their circumstances. Gabrielle Wings serves a global community of elementary age children through educational, recreational, and cultural engagement with partners on three continents. Here today to share a bit about her personal journey and her powerful book, The Other Side of Yet, Finding Light in the Midst of Darkness. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Power of Love Show, Michelle D. Horde. Michelle,
thank you.
How are you doing?
When I hear days, I must have been four when I started. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
I love it. Okay, so the first thing I always ask: what name did I butcher? Did I mispronounce your last name? Talk to me.
You were awesome, and you self-corrected. Gabrielle. People do sometimes say Gabrielle, but it is Gabrielle. So thank you for that. Yeah,
all good. And thank you for correcting me, because I'm very sensitive. I'm very sensitive to that, Michelle. I want to make sure I get all the names correct.
Thank you.
Now, your memoir, The Other Side of Yet, Finding Light in the Midst of Darkness, includes many profound quotes. Two that stuck out to us were, "Keep going, mommy, you can do it. Tell them our story." And the other one was, "I will not shrink. I will not whisper. Stories have the power to heal. My story matters because Gabrielle mattered. It matters because hope matters. Resilience matters." So my question to you, Michelle, is could you explain the meaning behind the title of your memoir, The Other Side of Yet, Finding Light in the Midst of Darkness? And can you elaborate on the source of strength and inspiration that drove you to share your family story with the world?
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. As I'm sure we'll talk about in a little more detail, I lost my 7-year-old daughter, my only child, very tragically and unexpectedly. And so Gabrielle's Wings is named after my daughter, Gabrielle. I grew up in the Baptist church. And when I first learned of her death, which was at the hands of her father during a very brutal divorce, the first thing that came to me was a verse in Job that I had heard growing up, "Though he slay me, yet do I trust him." And so for me, what was a Bible verse became a battle cry and a challenge to myself. How can I still trust in spite of? And so the book title, The Other Side of Yet, is how do you get to that other side? And there's so many ways. There's obviously grief, like the grief I had from a traumatic experience. People suffer grief through divorce, through losing jobs, through health crises, through losing parents. Especially this time of year, those things can be triggering. So the book is really about how do you get to the other side of those difficult, dark moments of life and look for the light.
Now, I have so many questions, and I thank you for sharing that. I'm always sensitive to telling other people's stories. So I thank you for opening up and talking about your story. I saw in an interview you did, Michelle, where you talked about how your story, you acknowledge that your story is unique. It's different. We lost our mother. I had just turned 16. Taj, you had just turned 21, just weeks prior for both of us. And, you know, especially coming from our family, it was a very unique situation. That uniqueness, I should say it this way, whenever someone's dealing with loss, there's an isolation regardless. But when it's extra unique, I feel like that isolation's even more so. And in your situation, that's even more so, I think, than even ours. My question to you, how did you find the strength? Was there anything in particular that stands out that helped you get through? I don't want to say the word, but I'll say the word. What got you to just survive in the present time for those first several months even?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I started my career in television at America's Most Wanted. And my first big job there was handling missing children's stories. So in my early 20s, I was traveling across the country, dealing with the worst kind of grief and fear of parents who did not know if their children were safe. And as you probably both know, those stories don't often end well, right? And there was something profound about how communities would come together, complete strangers would rally, and these mothers and fathers who somehow were walking and talking and maybe even making a little joke, that these extraordinary circumstances brought something powerful out of just regular folk. And so, you know, ironically, to start your career in that way and then fast forward, you know, some 20 years, and now I'm on the other side of the police tape. I'm on the side of a story that I've told as a journalist. And, you know, I think calling upon a lot of things, faith, first and foremost, my faith. I lost my mother suddenly at 24. She had a cerebral aneurysm, and her mother 3 months later. And so I think when you've dealt with grief, that is profound as losing a parent, you also have some tools in your toolkit. I will not compare the losses because they're dramatically different for so many reasons. But, you know, I think I brought with me my faith. I brought with me an understanding of how people do grieve differently, even in families, even siblings grieve differently, family members grieve differently. And so I, as I called in the book, I had a grace towards people around grief that people say stupid stuff. They mean to say the right thing. And, you know, I'll never forget my brother at probably a visitation at the house after we lost my mom said, if one more person tells me she's in a better place, I'm going to send them there. And, I think for any of us that have lost someone close, we can relate to that moment. But, you know, it really is, faith is a moment by moment process. I have a picture hanging in my office of a woman who's blindfolded, who is standing on the edge of a cliff and stepping off. And there's just an outline of what you would assume is God's hand. And that's really what faith is. Mm-hmm. And because I had this insurance policy, if you will, of faith of surviving my mother and my grandmother's loss while losing a child in this matter at the hands that I lost the child to was never even in the realm of possibility. It did give me a foundation to understand that I had the ability to survive.
That's so powerful. I have another question. When I hear you speak, I feel and see strength. Does that bother you? Do you feel you are strong? I'm curious to know. I mean, I assume everyone who's watching and listening to you talk and knowing of your story, you resemble strength and like a superwoman, really, because it's, I'm curious to know your thoughts. Do you consider yourself strong?
I've been tested in ways that prove that I can be strong. You know, one of the things that I think is so important is if you haven't walked a path, it's impossible to imagine yourself in that path, right? I don't know how I would have. You're right, you don't. And yet, when you are put to the test, you have the options of how to survive, how to call upon community, how to call upon nature or a higher power. So I think resilience is built up the same way our muscles are built up. It's resistance training. And so, yes, I know that I am resilient and I have a confidence that comes from walking through fire and getting to the other side, not unburned, not unscathed. But that doesn't make me special. That means that my life has put me in special circumstances where I was able to show that strength. But I would argue we all have that within us. We all have it within us.
Well, I'm going to say this now, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. I thank you for sharing your story, for writing the other side of yet. I really thank you because I think you are helping way more people than you even realize, Michelle. You know, when you're sleeping at night, someone's reading a sentence from your book that's going to really re-give them hope. And that is what we do here at the Power of Love Show. We try to do that with each and every episode. And one thing I feel we should be doing also is writing a book, because I think by sharing our personal stories, we never know what words can connect and really help those who are going through something similar. I completely agree. Everyone's grief and everyone's story is completely different. Everyone grieves differently. But there's one thing that, you know, I've even said this. I've ordered even a couple more copies because I want to make sure that if something happens to someone in my family, that there's the resources there to help them get through. Now, in talking about your book, one is another quote that I want to share is you say, you are demonstrating strength even if it doesn't feel like it. And you certainly demonstrated an immense amount of strength when bringing your book to fruition. My question to you is, who is the book intended for? Like, who's the intended audience for your book? And then what do you want readers to gain from reading your book?
Yeah, you know, I try, you talked about the first lines in my book that are, you know, me imagining my daughter whispering to me, tell our story, mommy. So there are two things that I hope to do. First and foremost, I hope to offer a bit of a roadmap for those who are experiencing grief. I won't pretend like I have all the answers. I won't pretend like chapter 3 comes after chapter 2. Mm-hmm. You may start with chapter 20, right? Like we all, and you may go back to chapter 2 3 times, right? We all have, you know, grief is not a linear process. It's a roller coaster ride. And so my hope is for those who are experiencing loss, and I think a lot of times in our society, we sensationalize things so much that we don't honor just the normal losses, you know, the loss of kids who've gone off to college and a mother hasn't worked in 25 years and now she's an empty nester. Mm. Anything that anyone who has lost what they thought their life was going to look like. I thought I was going to be this. I thought my health was going to be this. I thought my marriage would last forever. I can't imagine my life without mom. You know, that we could all fill those sentences in. So my hope and prayer is that the book is accessible enough that whether you consider yourself a religious or spiritual person, and whether or not you've lost someone close to you, that you can find yourself in it and you can find some hope and inspiration in it. And the other piece is not in text, but in spirit. It is a love letter to my baby girl and her light and, you know, her foundation, certainly, which was something I was gleeful to be able to talk about, you know, doing press tours and also talked about in the book. So a love letter to my baby.
I think it's beautiful. Todd, did you have something?
That is beautiful in that way. And is that the burning fire that made you want to write the book? Because writing a book, you said that you were in front of the camera at times as a reporter and this and that, but then writing a book's a different beast in a way. So what was the drive of that and that courage that came from that? I'm just curious.
You know, I've always written, you know, working in journalism and even in high school newspapers and that sort of thing, written creatively. This is not a book anyone would ever choose to write, right? But journaling, especially in the early months and I would even say years of this grief journey, was very helpful for me, talking to myself, trying to process where I was in a moment. And I have an amazing trauma therapist. And to your point at the beginning of the show, you know, getting a professional to work with you, if that's something you need, is incredibly valuable. And there are so many ways it can be accessible now. But at any rate, I would share some of these journal entries with my therapist. And she encouraged me to share them with friends who were trying to figure out how to get to me and what I was dealing with. And they started to tell me, this is helping me. You know, do you mind if I share this with so-and-so? This is, you know, I spoke at Gabrielle's funeral and I had people say, you know, I hadn't prayed in years until after I came to that funeral and heard you speak. So I realized it was bigger than me, that the holes in my heart were letting that light shine through for other people. And so it felt like an obligation, if that makes sense, that this was something I was supposed to do.
Did writing the book, I can only compare to what we were doing with this show, weekly show. For me, and I don't want to speak for my brother too, I don't like putting words in people's mouths, but for me, and I think he would agree, the show has been very therapeutic for us. Mm-hmm. It's just been like, we never went to therapy. We never did anything like that. So even decades later, after losing our mom, when we started the show, doing this show has been like therapy for us. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, would you say that's a similar thing for you when writing the book? Was there a personal transformation that helped you along the way in the process of writing the book?
You know, I think it was all so fresh still. It was 7 years ago in June, and I started writing the book during COVID, where we were all in this other complete state of otherness, right? Of this wasn't possible until it was. One of the things that was inspiring, though, that I was surprised by is going back and looking at those old journal entries. You know, looking at things from the first weeks and months and thinking to myself, how did I get here? You know, and kind of marveling at what faith and hope can do, because I could see the process and the growth and the glimmers of hope and glimmers of life that started to emerge in those early writings. And so unexpectedly, it was more reviewing what I had written in the past and watching how that evolved that I found inspiring.
That's great. So the chapter titles in your book resemble a guidebook for navigating through grief with headings like Face the Dark, Choose Hope, and Look for Your Signs. Did you intend for this book to serve as a compass for other individuals experiencing grief, providing them with support and reassurance on their own journeys so that they don't feel as though they're navigating alone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, coming from a television background and from morning television where you always want to give tools and tips, you know, I wanted that if someone even went in a bookstore and read just the titles alone, that there could be something in there that would stir something inside of them. So they all are, you know, action oriented. And again, maybe chapter 7 resonates with you more than chapter 1 or 2. But my hope is that they can serve as, you know, guides as people navigate this journey.
Another thing that I've noticed is, how do I say this? I notice and I sense even now that you do such a good job of granting yourself permission to experience joy and to embrace happiness, which is something I think many people really struggle with. I'm like, for instance, you beautifully express the sentiment when you write, we must forgive ourselves for choosing to live, choosing to fight, choosing to have an after. That is pretty, that's just wisdom to me. You know, I think a lot of things, one of the biggest issues people have when they have a huge setback is they don't feel they're worthy of happiness again. It seems as if you are able to do so quite well. Was it challenging for you to get to there? And the other flip side of the other second question I have is, what advice or what would you want to tell someone who's struggling on finding happiness, whether that's moving on, you know, someone who may be a widow, finding another husband? What advice do you have for them to be able to move forward in their own life and to experience joy again?
You know, it has been absolutely, outside of obviously missing my daughter every day and during the holidays, especially, you know, how, you know, that just pain. One of, and I don't know who said this or I would give them the credit, but there's a grief specialist who wrote about, you know, people think that grief gets smaller over time, when in fact it stays the same and your ability to live life around it increases. And I believe that 100%. The grief does not go away. You know, when people talk about closure and healing, especially for a traumatic loss in a situation like this, there isn't an end, right? There isn't a true after this event. However, I remember early on when I started dating, which I never would have imagined doing again, ever. Mm-hmm. My brother saying to me, you know, two things can be true at once. You know, you can have a moment of joy and happiness, and you can still be heartbroken about Gabrielle. And mm-hmm. that that back and forth tug of war is something that, frankly, I continue to battle. You know, I always wanted to write a book, and then there was the duality of my first book is this book. So, you know, I think it's important to give ourselves the grace. You are still here. You are still here for a reason. You may never understand on this side of the Jordan, as we'd say in the Baptist church, you know, why, what happened, when it happened, how it happened, but you're still here. And as long as you're still here, as long as you're still drawing breath, you have a chance to imagine a future. And it's not always easy, but it's worth fighting for.
That's great. Okay. So I want to showcase, for those who are watching, I want to showcase the book. And I want to make sure everyone is aware of where they can find the book. The book is called The Other Side of Yet, Finding Light in the Midst of Darkness. You can learn more about Michelle by going to MichelleDHorde.com. For those who are listening, I am going to spell that out. It is M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, the letter D as in Didi, and then Horde, H-O-R-D.com. But you can also get the book in hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audio formats at your bookstore, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, VAM, Bookshop, and of course, Audible. So Taj is going to have a question for you, Michelle, and about the audiobook.
I already see the answer.
I thought you would want to know.
And Audible
is Michelle narrating the Audible? I thought that.
That is true. That I always do ask that. Yes.
Yes, I am.
I would assume so with that incredible voice in the.
Oh, narrative. Thank you. You know, it's funny. They told me it would probably take about 5 days, and I think we did it in 3. And I said, well, you know, I've spent a lot of living helping people learn how to talk on camera. So if I didn't get this right, I wouldn't even quit my day job. But, you know, part of the thing, you know, you write a book and there's so many revisions and you read it so many times. And then when it's published, it almost can feel like it's a million miles away. So it was really profound to read those words out loud. You know, to hear myself talk about that pain, talk about anger, talk about the loss. But it was important to me to tell the story. And for those who know me, they say it feels like I'm talking to them. But hopefully for those who don't, it is a soothing, calming, reassuring friend who's walking on this journey with you.
So great. I said I would do this again. I just thank you for choosing to do this. You, yeah. As Tasha said, your voice is, it's just, there's a calm strength that I think will help continue to help so many people for many, many years. So I really, really thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Now, you wrote in the book is another quote. Oh, you have another question, Taj?
Yeah, just real quick, because this is something that Michelle brought up that was really, I didn't even think about this because I've been always asking people about Audible and narrating. But when you brought up the point that you had to, in a way, read your own words, like almost like revisit it. And I've never even thought about that aspect when I asked these people that. And, you know, I want to thank you for that because that is something that I didn't even think of in that way.
It was exhausting. I'm glad I did it, but it was exhausting.
Yeah, put yourself there again.
Yeah.
I wonder, and this is something I probably wouldn't normally ask, but I'm going to ask you, Michelle. I wonder, did it, by doing the narration, did it kind of feel like someone else at the same time was, did it kind of reconfirm every word you, I would assume it does in a way. It's like you're seeing it from a different angle maybe because you wrote it, but now you're hearing a voice confirm, even though it's your writing, I think it would hit like reconfirm in a way, which gives you, I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
No, but. You are. I will tell you when people give me quotes from the book, like you've done so lovely during our time together, and hearing it back, you know, when you're in an audio booth and you hear back, and one, we never sound like we think we sound, right?
Yeah, of course.
That things like that's my voice, right?
Yeah.
but two, it was powerful to hear me say it, to hear me tell it, to hear me, you know, share that testimony.
Yeah. Now, another quote in the book that you wrote is, even in the darkest moments, there is beauty in the ashes. And you certainly found the beauty in the ashes when you launched Gabrielle's Wings to honor the memory of your beautiful daughter, Gabrielle. We understand that Gabrielle Wings is dedicated to giving children of color from vulnerable communities the tools they need to soar above their circumstances. Can you provide any further insight or information about this impactful initiative and its goals and how our community can learn more and support Gabrielle's Wings?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we are on social and I know you guys have all that information to share. It's gabriellswings.org. You can also Google it and get there. But more importantly than that, it is an organization born out of a mother's love. You know, I, as a Black woman, was in a position of privilege relative to what most folks who look like me are. And Gabrielle was going to be exposed to schools and programs and things that, frankly, a lot of our children never get the chance to experience. So for me, Gabrielle's Wings was a way to stand in the gap for children that don't have those opportunities. We know that those K through 8 years are the formative years, that they are the game changer years. And so we work with organizations, small and large, to help create programs, places, and spaces that can help support children's growth from an academic standpoint, from a cultural standpoint. And the thing I'm really proud of that we've leaned into since COVID is social emotional learning and how important it is for our children to be able to articulate their feelings, to be able to process big emotions. And so with a camp in New York that's focused on children from the foster care system, with a school system in Philadelphia we're chartering right now, what we call Gabrielle's Peace Corners. And those are spaces with all of the tools and tips. You know, I joke a lot of adults could use these in their conference rooms of how do you deal with big emotions? How do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with anger? And learning how to give yourself space, you know, to process those emotions. So it's everything from that to libraries focused on books about kindness and inclusion, to tech centers in areas where children would not have access to technology otherwise. So far, we're on 3 continents and have been blessed to be able to fund over $500,000 in projects.
Good for you. Good for you. We are so proud and happy with all you are doing, Michelle, with your book as well as with Gabrielle's Wings. We commend you. We are standing behind you. And really, because oftentimes, I don't know if it's just a societal instinct, whenever there's grief or loss, we somehow don't want to, as a society, you know, put much light or energy into it, but it's something that we all will have to experience. And the more we can understand it and learn and help people get through it, the better off we will all be. So, and I thank you for doing it the way you're doing it, because you're 100% right that, you know, oftentimes our children of color are the most vulnerable without the resources and without the true understanding of how to get through these difficult moments. So I thank you on behalf of my brothers and our foundation. Another question I have, we have a couple more questions, but one I want to make sure is asked is, how can our community best engage with you and to learn more about whatever it is you're doing in the moment, in the present, in the future? What's the best way for our community to go into the Michelle D. Horde world?
Yes. Well, my website, which you've shared, will give links to all of my social, to a monthly newsletter that I write about hopefully helping with inspiration as we go through different seasons of our lives. I'm active on Instagram regularly. I do a weekly video at the top of the week that hopefully offers some inspiration and hope. So MichelleDHorde.com, as you mentioned, at MDHorde on Instagram. And Gabrielle's Wings is also accessible at Gabrielle's Wings on Instagram as well, where we talk about the work that we're doing and share some of the great stories we have of children who are being impacted.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so Taj, was there anything else? Because we have one more question to ask Michelle, and then we are going to wrap up. But I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to ask anything you wanted to ask before we ask our always question.
No, I mean, I just, you know, obviously thank you so much for coming on here. And I always am amazed at people's strength and in terms of turning something, you know, turning a tragedy into something that helps others and being selfless in that way. And I know, I'm amazed at your strength and your faith and all of that aspect of it. And I understand it too. So yeah, as much as I'm amazed of it, it just, I think people that have faith, they love hearing stories about other people that have been tried and tested and still have that faith, if that makes sense. And so absolutely. I appreciate you for that aspect of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so Michelle, I gave you a little bit of a warning before we went on that one thing we ask every single guest that joins us, it's the same question. It's basically, what would you want to leave our community with? It could be on topic, it could be off topic, it could be a serious topic, a not so serious topic. It could be regarding your favorite TV show that you're watching, your favorite song, your favorite anything, movie. Your favorite cooking recipe, anything you want to share.
Oh, I love to cook. I'll have to come back for that one. I love it. I'll set up in the kitchen and everything.
I love it. I love it. By the way, people have been saying, please, like Carol says, have Michelle come back to the show again.
So thank you, Carol. You've
made a definitely an impact, Michelle. But thank okay, you. So the floor is yours. However much time you want, share with us in our community what you want to share, please, Michelle.
There's an acronym in my book that I think hopefully is very helpful, especially this time of year, and it's SPIRIT. And so I'll walk everyone through it. S is survive and self-care. You know, when we are in grief and loss, sometimes victory is getting out of bed and taking a shower. Sometimes it's staying in bed and getting an extra hour of sleep because you can't deal with folks. Take care of yourself in the way you need to in that moment. That's your call. That's not anybody else's call. Mm-hmm. The P is for praise. There's always something to be grateful for. It's so difficult when you're in a dark space to think about that. But even as I discovered that I'd lost my daughter and how I lost my daughter, I thought about things that I could be grateful for. I was grateful that I had her for almost 8 years. So there's always something to be grateful for and to praise. The first I is for impact. It's what I'm trying to do with Gabrielle's Wings. But you don't have to start a nonprofit to do that, right? Helping other people, getting outside of yourself, getting that perspective, especially when you are struggling, is a wonderful, wonderful way to kind of break through the chains of darkness. R is for reflect. Think about other situations, other times you've dealt with difficult things. They may not have looked like this, but that character and those muscles and that faith that got you through then will definitely get you through now. The second I is imagine, and this may be the hardest part. Have the courage to imagine a future that may not look like you want it to look, that may not have a person or people that you expected to be there, but you're still here. So have the courage and faith to imagine. And last but not least, which is I think what your show is all about, T for testify. Tell your story. I think we sometimes underestimate the power of our stories, and whether that's in a Facebook post or at church or in a book, we all have stories to tell, and they are full of healing and inspiration that can touch other people. So tell your story.
Love it. Brilliantly done, Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wrap up. Her name is Michelle D. Horde. Her book is called The Other Side of Yet. You can go to michelledehore.com to learn more. The book is available on pretty much every platform you would imagine, from Amazon, Barnes & Noble to Target, and even Audible. And Michelle is narrating, so you've just heard her wonderful voice for the last 40 minutes. Powerful and composed and confident and just caring. So I am going to be downloading that Audible myself. And then the other thing I want to share is Gabrielle's Wings. To learn more, please go to michelledehore.com again, and you can go on Instagram at Gabrielle's Wings. That's Gabrielle's Wings. The other thing I want to do before we wrap up, Michelle, is I want to read some of these comments. Dee's Tiny Kitchen says, makes you handle things differently by sharing your experience, otherwise buried and not dealt with. Thank you, Michelle. Brandy says, she made me so proud of being a Philadelphian and a color woman. Mm-hmm. Nicole says, Michelle, I'm pretty sure your experience will help lots of others. It's amazing. You've been able to write a book dedicated to Gabrielle. It's a jewel. Thank you. Carol says, thank you for all you do, Michelle, and that she wished she could be as strong as you are. Carrie says, thank you so much, Michelle, for sharing your story. You truly are inspiring. Soleil says, thank you, Michelle. And she throws us in, Taj. we already said, Carol says, thank you for coming to the show, Michelle. And then Tordia says, this episode was amazing. Michelle is such an inspiration. Thank you. That's just some of the comments, Michelle. There were many, many more, but I just want to thank you again on behalf of my eldest brother, Taj, and our whole foundation for joining us, for sharing your story, and just being you. I truly mean this. I want to thank you for writing a book and testifying your story, because I know it will help others. And just know we are here and behind you with any of your endeavors, and we are just honored to have you with us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Taj, was there anything else? Did I get everything?
I'm on mute. No, sorry. Every time I press the unmute button, it takes a couple seconds on this computer. No, I was just balancing the screaming upstairs.
You're good, Taj.
And the listening and stuff like that, but as you were reading the things off and stuff like that, this has been an amazing episode. So thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. So that is it, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. And again, on behalf of the entire D.D. Jackson Foundation community, we thank you, Michelle. We really, really thank you. So that's it, you guys. We will say our goodbyes and we will see you next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Adios, everyone. Bye.